So tonight, it's my honor to introduce Ms. Dionne Haywood to the podium. Ms. Dionne Haywood is the Executive Director of Women with a Vision, a New Orleans-based community organization founded in 1991 to improve the lives of marginalized women, their families, and communities by addressing the social conditions that hinder their health and well-being. Since Hurricane Katrina, she's led the organization to a vibrant, locally rooted international network addressing the complex intersection of socioeconomic injustices and health disparities. In 2009, Dionne oversaw the launch of Women with a Vision's No Justice Project, a campaign to combat the sentencing of women and trans people arrested for street-based sex work under Louisiana's 203-year-old Crimes Against Nature felony-level law, which resulted in federal judicial ruling and the removal of more than 700 women from the sex offender registry. For her quarter century of work and leadership at the intersection of HIV/AIDS, harm reduction, LGBTQ rights, reproductive justice, and criminalization, Dionne was honored in 2011 with the Political Activism Award for the Forum for Equality, received the 2012 Terry Estrada Memorial Award from AIDS Law Louisiana, was named BET.com's 2012 Health Hero, and represented the U.S. South as a delegate at the 2013 Frontline Defenders Dublin Platform. In 2015, Ms. Haywood had the distinct honor of being awarded the Victoria J. Mastrobono Award for Women's Health by the National Organization of Women and the Kiyoshi Kurumaya Award for Women's Health by Philadelphia Fight. For the past year, I've had the honor of serving as a social work intern at Women with a Vision. I have witnessed the work these women seated in the front row and their beautiful, relentless dedication to a fight that affects and encompasses all of us in this room. I've had the honor of learning from and witnessing Women with a Vision as a tenant of many movements, an enduring community that evolves as the city changes, and above all, a safe and healing space for anyone who walks through its doors and true home. On behalf of all of us at SWRF, MSFC, SurfTuff, and LSRJ, please join me in welcoming Ms. Dionne Haywood.
Good evening, everybody. I want to thank everybody for, I cannot repeat the acronyms. I couldn't. But I want to thank you for having me. I feel like, Tulane always invites me, and I always enjoy coming, and I am definitely honored to be here with Dr. Willie Parker, a hero of mine. And so I'll start by saying whenever I think about reproductive justice and how we know it, you heard that Loretta Ross, founder of Sister Song, coined the term reproductive justice. And I feel like in the last maybe 5 years, the fight for what reproductive justice means to some of us is one thing, and reproductive rights are another thing, and reproductive health is another thing, right? But when you think about reproductive justice, and as I or any member of Women with a Vision, we think we've created our own analysis for how these two words, reproductive justice, encompasses all our work and who we are. And not just who we are now, but 25 years this year, Women with a Vision enters its 26th year. And I'm very proud of that for a couple of reasons. Women with a Vision was started by 8 black women who are all born and raised in New Orleans, all worked in social service in some way, and they decided that they needed this organization to do the work that they felt wasn't being done. They felt that they needed this organization to do the work that they felt people weren't really addressing the needs of black women, poor women, disabled women, you name it. It wasn't being addressed. Anything around public health, if it was HIV, we know when HIV started, many of us, hopefully y'all know, it wasn't a women's issue. Nobody ever talked about it as being a woman's issue. Nobody talked about drug use in women, what it meant to parent, what it meant to be incarcerated, what it means to be policed. So given that I'm someone who has the pleasure who sat with Loretta Ross, I'd like to thank her and our foremothers that came up with that definition meant that justice meant social justice. That justice held all the pieces that many of us fight for. And so when I was asked to speak tonight, I kept saying ethics. What does that mean? And I struggled with it for like weeks, and then I let it go. And then today I ran around the office and like, Dr. Willie Parker's gonna be talking about ethics. I don't think I have to go into too much detail, but what does ethics look like for us? What does it look like in the state of Louisiana? What does it look like throughout the South? What does it look like globally for the people we feel we represent at Women with a Vision? So I asked five people, and five people gave me five different answers as to what ethics was for them. And at Women with a Vision, it's not just me. I think as a whole, we believe in pushing the envelope. We believe in pushing back on things we disagree with, ideas, laws. We will fight and we will push back. So I thought about who we see. And so at Women with a Vision, we see different communities face different barriers to accessing reproductive health care and attaining reproductive justice. Women of color, women with disabilities, young women, women who are incarcerated, women involved in sex work, low-income women, and people, members of the LGBTQ community are all involved in the reproductive justice movement, but do they all have access to reproductive health, right? And these are questions. I always pose questions when I speak because I really want you to leave here and think about what I asked you. Livia will tell you I do this all the time. And it is saying that there are so many people fighting for like what we consider basic human rights, a right to live, a right to fair housing, a right to walk down the street, a right to feel what safety means for that community and not safety implemented by others. All of those things are what we consider an extension and a part of reproductive justice. So I thought I would take the privilege to talk about people who you'll never hear being talked about also when you think about reproductive health and reproductive justice. At Women with a Vision, our most successful clients at Women with a Vision are women involved in the sex trade. And when I say sex trade, I mean like they chose for whatever reason, be it survival or it's just what I think I need to do for me today. The women we see at Women with a Vision are not there because they were forced. And if you want to think about force, I want you to think about the condition, and I want you to think about economics and poverty and education and access as a force to individuals being involved in the sex trade. And so at Women with a Vision, we rarely use any terms that relate to victimhood. We feel like there's enough organizations that do that. There are enough individuals that we can probably think of a list of them. You can walk out the door and you can probably look at a few of them. But for the most part, we never use a victim narrative. If you, any choice you make for yourself, any decision you felt like you have to make, we see that as an act of strength and an act of power. We rarely ever use the word in power because it always feels to us like it's assuming that we're going to hand you something. And we really don't have anything to hand you. But what we do have is we have tools. We have tools, we have analysis, we have frameworks. We have an environment in which we allow you to decide decisions that you need to make for yourself, whatever that may be, that you have full body autonomy. When we say that our organization is about building power in our communities, we believe that we're especially affected by the sex trade because of racism, male dominance, ageism, the prison industrial complex, the drug war. The war on drugs has targeted our communities in a certain way. And so the sex trade and street economies exist and thrive because of a lack of resources, choices, support, education, and respect. Don't you think that sounds like the same things that are missing from the conversation around reproductive access and reproductive rights? Because if you're an individual who lives anywhere and you feel like you have none, you can't really utilize them, then it's kind of hard to fight for them, right? I'm one of those people that I have an issue with. You know, people think whenever you say reproductive justice, yay, abortion. And we get it. But that's not the only conversation that should ever be held. It is the right to choose. It is the right to terminate. It is the right to parent. It is the right to know how to parent and have the tools you need to parent. Those are all things that are basic human rights, right? And so in our work, And one was a vision I started thinking about since I got those five different answers about what are ethics? What does that look like? And I thought about the struggle we have here in this, what I consider throughout the South, around the country, where there's this, the choice groups, and I don't mean the choice them on the other side or whoever that may be. I mean people who believe that, you know, choice is the only fight. So I thought about what would it mean if we came up with our own standards of ethics? What if we came up with our own standards of how do we want this movement to look? Do you want it to look just like this room? And when I say that, I want y'all to look around the room. The room is majority white. I know y'all can see that because I do. And y'all can laugh at it because you should. And the reason I say you should, because it's a reality that people are uncomfortable with. But at some point, people, we have to stop being uncomfortable with race because we have to face it. And I don't know if you noticed, but not on like some religious tirade, but more that we're going to have to become comfortable with each other if any of us wants to. I talk like that. I was going to try another person.
Somebody once said the depth of your faith relates to the profundity of your curse, so you're a very faithful person.
Thank you. And so when I say that, it means, are we ready to really build a reproductive justice movement? See, I feel like I'm one of those people, I operate in two camps. You know, there's the abortion camp, where you know you have to go and you have to be a part of that one. And then there's the camp that's all about birth control. And then there are the other meetings I may attend that's all about making birth control accessible over the counter, because they do that in other countries. But y'all know where we live, so that's another story. That'd be another conversation. But what would it mean for me at Women with a Vision? When I fight, I tell people, I don't have the privilege to leave you out. I don't have a privilege to leave any woman out. Our focus is on Black women in the South, because Black women are the most marginalized. And we work with trans women who are also even more marginalized. But what would it look like if you stood up for me? What would it look like if we all fought for the same thing, not just your corner? You know what your corner is? Your corner, I know I lived in Lakeview before. That was a corner. That's a corner. Lakeview is a corner. It says step here and step right, or you know what that outcome would be. I lived there. And there were some parts about it I kind of enjoyed myself. But I also was born and raised in the city of New Orleans, and I learned to ride my bike in the Magnolia Housing Project, and I too enjoyed that. But what would it mean if we just didn't fight for one school? Which was the one up the street, Blusher? That one? You know that one, the special one that only special people, children get to go to. Suppose we actually fought for housing, especially in a city like this. For those of you who are not from New Orleans, this city is a walking woman's person's city. It always has been. People walk to work, they walk to school, they walk to family. You walk. And we've turned into a city that's constantly changing and moving people out and pushing the people I work with completely to the margins, which means they can't access anything because everything you need to access is where? Downtown. What if we fought for transportation? And so part of my being here, when you think about ethics and people, you know, like one person said to me, you know, oh, it's about right and wrong. And I'm like, do you live in this country? Because what is that? Elaborate for me. Tell me more. And they were like, well, you know right and wrong. And then I asked somebody, and they said, well, my religious views, my religious views set how I think about ethics. And I was like, all right, Dion, hey, would you do what you do when you think about this for yourself? And then you bring it to people and see if they get it. See, ethics to me is what I just said. I don't have the power to leave you out. If that means holding community groups, community meetings, and talking about how do we work for all reproductive rights? How do we attain reproductive justice? How do we do that? That means you're going to have to talk up for me when I'm talking about birth control and I'm talking about access and making sure that people can drive to the clinic and get what they need and they have insurance. That means that you're fighting for ACA. I refuse to call it Obamacare. I just can't. I can't give it to it. But the Affordable Care Act, that means you care about that. That means you vote. If you believe in reproductive justice, it means all the things that we all hold true to be safe and sound is what you fight for. It means that women who can't access, then you stand up for those women who don't have a voice and can't use their voice. And I believe you with, I want to leave you with a story about a client from Women with a Vision. This young woman was 19 years old, and somebody made a referral to us for her to come to our office. And she really wouldn't talk. She stood up against a pillar that exists in the middle of our office, and she stood there. And I was like, well, the issue, what's the issue? And they were like, she just found out she was about an early pregnancy. She's 19, she's in a relationship with someone who's 47, and he didn't believe the baby was for him, so he beat her. Because I want you to have an idea of the clients we see, right? And so this 19-year-old stood in the middle floor for 5 hours, all day. She didn't move, she didn't drink, she didn't eat, she didn't go to the bathroom. Now, if any of you know anything about trauma and abuse, it's because she couldn't. She couldn't. She didn't want to call the police. Most black women are not comfortable calling police. And she stood there. The only time she opened her mouth is when she realized that her 2-year-old needed to be picked up from daycare. And so the fear set in. And she said, I have to get there before he gets there because he's going to go and get her. And then he's going to get me. And then he's going to do everything he can so that I can lose this baby. He's going to make sure that I lose it. And I don't want to carry it myself. I just can't. So then in our office, we always ask, what do you need us to do first? How can we help you? And I would like to tell you that this story is, oh, it just happens in New Orleans. No, it's kind of an everywhere story. It's an everywhere story where people don't have, there are not enough abortion funds in the city, in a state like Louisiana. It's the everyday story, because what I should have been able to do as soon as she said that, as I should have been able to pick up the phone and contacted somebody quickly, somebody that I trusted, that she could talk to, and they could work it out. But we see these, we have these kind of stories every day. And so when you hear me say education, access, I'm not talking about Tulane. I'm talking about that for all of you in here that are young professionals or old professionals, that all of you should be writing letters to the state of Louisiana. You all should be writing letters and said, we demand comprehensive sex ed. We demand that women have access to correct information and that doctors are not putting them in a moment of fear when they're already in crisis. You should be, when you see people marching and saying across Facebook, we going to Baton Rouge, that ain't just no thing. That is not just shit people do. People do that for a reason. It is saying that I have a voice and I'm willing to speak, not just for me, but for all. So when you think about building and what does reproductive justice look like, how many of you are from Louisiana? All of y'all need to send a letter. And I assume the rest of you are not. And if you are not and you are living here for even the time you are here, you should be fighting. I'm one of those people that push back on, you know, well, the South, you know, the South, they're kind of slow. Oh, yeah, you know, the South, they don't, you know, they don't really do well with things. You know, the South. Well, you know, I tell people, if you are willing to pull up your sleeves and fight in the South, you're doing some shit. This is the battleground. This is the battleground. If you are fighting here, and people like me, like, I don't need you to stay. You don't have to stay if you don't want to. But roll up your sleeves while you're here. And when you leave here, roll them up wherever you go. But know that there are young women, like the 19-year-old young woman, who sadly to say didn't terminate the pregnancy. Too many complications, too many things happening around her, not enough support. That you are speaking for her. If you are unsure what speaking for that person looks like, call somebody. Send an email. We answer people through email all the time. And it's not just Women with a Vision in the city. There are other organizations in the city. Obviously, you all are really good at organizing through school. What does that look like to fight not just on this campus, but be a really mighty voice across the state? And so, in closing, I want to share with you our vision. It's real small, real simple. But our vision of reproductive justice is the complete physical, mental, spiritual, political, economic, and social well-being of girls, women, and queer people. We want the power and resources to make healthy decisions about our bodies, sexuality, for ourselves, our families, and our overall community. It's real simple. And that when you are fighting, or after you leave here today, if you haven't fought, if you're graduating in December like some, write that letter. Because you know what politicians tell people like me and Amy, and I think I saw Linda in the room? You know what they tell us? Well, we're doing what we're doing what the constituents want. But yet when we come out and talk to people, I really don't want that. We want a different Louisiana. We want a different Mississippi. We want to live in a different country. Some people are afraid to say that, but I will challenge America at every cost. So thank you.